Amen and amen. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Let's kneel so that we can start our gathering in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on Sabbath day. Thank you for being with us last night as we gathered as well. And thank you for blessing everyone here in attendance today. And we also lift up all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that come against us. Thank you also, Father, for keeping us safe here at the house as a crop duster went flying over the house all morning and not letting the toxins come anywhere near our home. And thank you for blessing us with a changing of the showbread today in a way that sees our walk better and seeds watered and more opportunities given unto us for the days ahead to share this truth. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. No, I didn't get it, Stephen. Did you send it to the Contact Us page? Because if you did, then Fran's going to have to forward it to me. You know, if you could check in there, Fran, there's... if you could forward me... okay. Yeah, he sent it to the Contact Us page. So if you can look in the emails, and when you see the one from Brother Stephen, just forward it to me so I can share it. Thanks. You're very welcome. All right. I want to welcome some new people here that I noticed on with the smiley faces there. We got Stephanie, Jaywin, looks like. Jaywin Development, and then Augustus again. Hope and pray you're blessed today. If you're wanting to read along with us, just scroll underneath the chat room and you'll see the notes for today's study. Then under that, of course, is the scriptures that declare we are doing testimonies today. Okay, and that means next week is Q&A. So if you got any questions that you would like answered, odds are they won't be answered next week, depending on how quick they are. I'm pretty much already set up for next week. We might have to do 2 weeks in a row. That all depends. But anyway, we are on question number 17, if you want to read along with us. And the question is, God has given permission for only what kind of beasts to be eaten? And this is, of course, from Leviticus 11, verses 2 and 3. Thank you, Brother Gorin. And so, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts that ye shall eat. And then, of course, it goes into other details in regards to fish and stuff, you know, because if you, like, for example, an unclean fish would be a fish with no scales, like catfish. Oh, I know. Cajun catfish is awesome. I used to eat it years ago before I quit eating meat, but it's not good for you. Just like shellfish, you know, like lobster, crayfish, clams, oysters, and stuff like that. And many years ago, our family discovered this truth, which most today call health reform in the church. And I must say, it was an interesting study, to say the least. I mean, I compiled my findings on a page on the website called the Manna Manual. In fact, that used to be a URL all on its own, but I decided to let it drop offline, and now that page is found in the Bible Truth section of the website under Milky Truth, where it says unclean foods. Or just go to remnantofgod.org/health.htm. And the reason I posted that study is because it can be confusing to decipher which is clean and which is unclean. And why people still want to eat meat today, whether it's clean or not, really boggles the mind. But because unless you actually have the cow in your backyard, it's not safe. But the amazing thing here is that before I even did the study, the Lord already removed meat from my diet. This was more than two decades ago, because I honestly believe that is what led me into a better understanding of His Word, because not long after giving up meat, I became a Sabbath keeper, which is about 21 years ago. So it had to be, I don't know, maybe two or three years before, maybe even just a year before. It's kind of hard, because I think I do have it marked down on my praise list. I'd have to go through those books I have in the basement. Now everything, all my praises, my personal praises, are on my computer system. But back in the day, I had computers from the green screen days, but I used to do like a diary, a daily diary of things that He had shown me for that day when I was first walking with Christ. It was amazing. It was just like, especially just reading His Word, it was some of the amazing things that I was witnessing. So I started a diary, and I got about 19 of these books down in the basement, I think, 9 or 10 or 20 of them. Still, I do understand that some new to the truth do still eat meat, and so I posted the page on the website to help them see what was safe and what was unsafe to eat. However, as was also prophesied, and as I intimated a minute ago, it no longer matters what is clean and unclean anymore due to pollution, antibiotics, chemtrails, and, of course, the Fukushima meltdowns. Everything on planet Earth that has breath of life in it, and this includes the fish who filter the oxygen from the water, as well as the trees and you and I, everything is unfit to eat, even if it is considered unclean. And no, I'm not suggesting anybody should even consider cannibalism, but what I'm saying is, we're all radiated. Even if there wasn't a Fukushima, and even if there wasn't a, what was the one in Russia? The wormwood, the actual, Chernobyl. That word Chernobyl means wormwood in English. And, but even if we didn't have those meltdowns, our so-called leaders, there's a video I posted on the site maybe twice, two or three times maybe, of, and it starts off kind of slow, but you aren't going to believe how, because then it starts speeding up because there's so many quote-unquote nuclear tests on our planet over the years, thousands of them. They've blown up thousands of these atomic bombs on our soil, some right here in the USA. I mean, yes, of course, some of them, they put them on some crazy deserted islands out in the middle of nowhere, but unbelievable. What gets me is these guys have children. I mean, that made absolutely no sense at all. And then, of course, the chemtrails. And I know back when we started talking about the chemtrails, a lot of people used to think we were conspiracy theorists and all this other stuff. But praise God, it's been 20 years or 15 years. I don't even know how long it's gone now, because most people now realize, yeah, well, they're up there. Some people have a theory that it's, it's just waste. You know, instead of throwing the stuff into the ocean or in landfills, they're getting rid of chemicals just by throwing them in the air. But that doesn't hold water because of the fact that people have put, like if they live in cities, if you're out here in the middle of nowhere in the boonies, you'll see the chemtrails being striped in the sky like we do on a regular basis, and we pray on a regular basis, and they do waft away. But they don't want to spray the chemtrails over farmlands. And they don't. It's not because they care about the crop, because I mean they were just spraying the fields this morning with crop duster going over our house because of we're wrapped in corn this year. And the reason we see it is because they don't want the people in the cities to see it. There's a lot less people out here in the rural areas, and so there's a lot less opportunity for them to have witnesses, if you will. But now it's too late. This has been going on 15, 20 years, like I say. And how the chemtrails work is they spray them. And there's videos, there's zoom-in cameras, the whole nine yards. These guys are not, these aren't contrails. A contrail disappears after a while. Chemtrail just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It turns into a cloud, and it wafts over a city. That's the design. It also has to do with weather modification. I mean, Germany admitted that about 5 years ago, that they were actually... But that was their excuse, though. It does work, though. It allows for super hurricanes and stuff like that. it allows them to generate some crazy weather. But at the same time, that was just a partial excuse. It's kind of like the chemtrails is kind of like a, the super hurricanes and stuff like that, that they can cause with the chemtrails is more or less a bonus, if you will, because the main reason for doing them is, it's kind of hard to factor it in. I really don't care. I don't research this out that much. I mean, I'm just watching some of the videos like you do. And, but there is evidence that it has to do with, the AMA's, flu shots as well as, other medications that they inject people with so that they can put dormant viruses in the human body. And then when the chemtrail goes over that city, everybody's going to get sick because something in the chemtrail turns on the dormant virus. And we saw this actually happen in Lafayette, Indiana, because we have loved ones that live there, and they told us how everybody got sick. And it wasn't the flu. So, but anyway, and by the way, I know some of you do have livestock on your farms, and you don't inject them with all sorts of crazy chemicals, so that is, you know, one of the better ways to go. I mean, the chemtrails are, you know, it's trivial, especially by the time it hits the ground to some extent. But, and you're living out in the rural areas, you're not going to get any, hardly, anyway. But the point I was making earlier was there have been people that took mason jars, and this is what got me looking into it, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. They took some mason jars, and they put them in the back of a pickup truck and just let it sit out there in the backyard as the chemtrails were wafting down the road and then, of course, came down in their neighborhood because they were in a city. And then they took the stuff in and they found barium, all sorts of aluminum, of course, and everything else. And they say it's to reflect the heat of the sun, which may be the powers that be fearing that the, in other words, to try and stop the plague of heat that's headed their way. But how, you know, they can't stop prophecy. I mean, even if they built a shield around this planet, they're not going to stop what the Lord's going to do. So, even if the chemtrails weren't wafting above and the radiation wasn't degrading the flesh on a minute-by-minute basis, eating the flesh with the blood in it is also an abomination unto God. So even if you have a cow grazing in your yard or chickens and you decide to eat the chicken or the cow, you got to get that blood out of there. You know, we will, of course, get into that reality later on. Question number 21, I think, touches on it. And so we'll just leave that where it's at for now. So anyway, question number 18. Unclean animals such as what are forbidden? Leviticus 11, verse 7. Okay, and it says, "In the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you." And the study goes on to share that unclean animals are defined in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. Large animals, which are not cloven-footed or do not chew the cud, are unclean. Seafood, which has no fin nor scales, is unclean. Birds of prey and certain other birds are unclean. And so are many small animals, such as weasels, mice, lizards, and snails. By the way, the Roman soldiers used to eat mice. And scriptures does talk about mice eaters. They ate mice the way some people eat beef jerky today. In other words, a mouse was easy to dry up. You know, I'm assuming either they took the fur off or they would peel the fur when they were getting ready to eat it, because I can't see them eating the fur. And again, I have a page on the site found in the Bible Truth section, you know, unclean foods. So, but yeah, people do eat snails. It's called escargot. People still eat snails today. I remember when I was a kid, I knew this one family that lived a couple of blocks down the road, and they invited me over to eat dinner. And I couldn't have been more than 11. And when I was there, I didn't eat it. I couldn't eat it because of what I saw happening. And so I just ate, you know, the side dish, you know, like the beans or whatever. But they were having escargot, and I says, "What's escargot?" And she opened up the lid, and there was a bunch of snails trying to crawl out of the pot. They were all crawling because it was boiling water, and they were trying to get out. I says, "You're going to eat snails?" I says, "Man," I says, "you got to be kidding me." But they ate them. But I used to eat stuff like lobster clams, oysters, and stuff like that. And I praise God I got away from that because, you know, to make a long story short, eating pork is extremely unhealthy, very unhealthy, and I found out the hard way. And I praise God he allowed it to happen the way it happened to me. I didn't want it happening because there's other ways that trichinosis can attack the human body. And I just and I'm still, you know, I still have problems with my right arm to this day. And I haven't eaten meat in over 20 years. But I not only liked pork, I liked pork rinds. And even in pork rinds, the worms that are in the skin are still alive in the pork rinds. People have a hard time believing that, but I've already done this. You take a pork chop, stick it in your oven at 500 degrees. And the reason I say do the oven thing instead of the Coca-Cola thing, I'll explain that in a minute. But anyway, take the pork chop, put it in your oven at 500 degrees, and let it sit there for 3 hours. Then when you take it out at the end, of course, letting it cool down, it's just a charcoal briquette. You can't eat it. It's charred clean through. Right? Take it. Take a nice white piece of typing paper, put it on your kitchen table, crack open the pork chop, and you'll see in the fine powder of the black dust from the pork chop, you'll find what looks like little footballs, like mouse droppings, if you will. Crack one of those open. You'll see the worm still alive in there. He built a cocoon of the flesh around himself to keep himself safe. And that's why I don't suggest doing the Coca-Cola thing, because people think, well, you know, okay, you put a pork chop in a Coca-Cola, in a vat of Coca-Cola, like, say, a tray or a pot, and you'll see all these worms coming out of the pork chop within, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, because the acid in the Coca-Cola drives them nuts. They can't handle it. It's too painful. So they start moving. But it doesn't kill them. And so they go, oh, I'll just make sure I cook my pork chop well done. I says, yeah, well, make it into a charcoal briquette, and you still ain't going to kill the worms. That's why I always go with the oven thing, because a lot of people say, well, if I cook it well enough, I'll be all right. Well, no, you won't. And your stomach acid will cause the worms to move to get out of that acid. That won't kill them, but it'll make them move, and they'll go right through your stomach wall or your intestinal tract, and it'll go through your body looking for places in your body that are similar to the back of a hog, which is usually the joints of your body, like your knees, elbows, wrists. And in my case, it hit my right elbow, right at the, like at the, because I used to lift weights. I could literally curl my wife. We used to, you know, goof around like that. I would literally pick her up and just curl her. And I would, but when I would curl, I would actually curl weights that were heavier than her, of course. And so I had no problem lifting things up. And then all of a sudden, one day, my right arm started hurting a little bit, and it got worse and worse and worse. By the end of like about 1 or 2 weeks, I couldn't lift. And yeah, I was still drinking coffee back then. I couldn't even lift a cup of coffee without intense pain in my elbow. So I went to a doctor, and he said it was atrophied. So then I went to a chiropractor, a real doctor, and he told me to quit eating pork. I says, how did you know I ate pork? He says, because you got worms in your elbow, because they're in there trying to survive what they're used to surviving in the back of a hog. Because what a hog eats, he's like a giant fly. He eats waste. And the Lord put the worms in the flesh of the pig to help him to assimilate some of the toxins he's going to be eating. And those worms thrive on those toxins. Well, the only place in the human body for them to get some of the toxins, because I ate candy bars and all sorts of crummy stuff back then, he says it's going to be in some of your joints and stuff like that, or in the gray matter of the brain, or even in the eyeball. Some people have had the worms inside the eyes, and some have in their brains, which causes all sorts of problems. And it just gets all throughout the body, but it's usually in the joints, and that's where I got it. And so every now and then, like if I start lifting heavy weights again, within a couple of days, my right arm, because they ruined the muscle. It feels like I've got a torn muscle for the rest of my life. But the pain it's gone now to where I could just, you know, move my arms and there's no more pain. But if I lift something heavy, then yeah, it lets me know that it's still there. So, but yeah, you cannot eat pork. It is deadly to the human body. I mean, would you eat a fly? Most people would say no. Well, then why are you eating a pig? Same thing, just bigger. A lot bigger, of course, but it's the same thing. It's just like oysters and clams and lobsters and shrimp. All these beings, these little animals that the Lord created in the oceans, clean up. It's like the ocean's pigs. They're cleaning up the toxins. I mean, have you ever seen what a shrimp will eat or what a lobster eats? Or crayfish, for example. They go after the stuff that's rotting and dead in the creeks. So, question number 19. What was that? I heard some noise. My microphone's making weird noise. All right, question number 19. To whom did God originally make the distinction between clean and unclean animals? Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens." Okay? Seven of them. The male and his female. "And of the beasts that are not clean by two." The male and his female. And reason by two is because he wasn't going to eat them. And then study goes on to share, this was long before there were, ever was a Jew. It is not just Jews who can be harmed by eating unhealthful things. Some of the diseases which are commonly associated with pork include trichinosis, like I got. Was this toxoplasmosis, whatever that is. Salmonella, of course, tapeworms, and undulant fever, whatever that is. I don't know. Christians who recognize that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit will not defile themselves with anything that will dishonor God. And people say, well, the Bible says if I give thanks, I can receive all things unto God, you know, with thanksgiving. Okay, if that's how you want to define that Bible verse, then thank me right now for the $10,000 I just gave you. And then you're going to say, well, wait a second, you never gave me 10 grand. He says, yeah, you're right, so why are you thanking me? He says, I don't get you. God said don't eat the pork. You can't say thank you for the pork that he never told you to eat. You can't say that the Bible verse says you can receive all things unto God with thanksgiving and then eat a pork chop, because God never said you can have the pork chop. So you can't say thank you for the pork chop because he never gave it to you. See, the Bible's pretty blunt. It doesn't mince words. It doesn't beat around the bush. Read it as it's written. But a lot of people like to put their own opinion there. 2 Peter 1:20 was written for that reason. But that has to do with the prophetic end of things. So as is now very apparent, due to thousands of years of historic facts regarding the many diseases of mankind, thanks to an unbiblical diet, the flesh of dead animals was by no means the original diet for man. And again, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or not. Now, this is long before any Jews were on the planet that God said, don't eat this and don't eat that. And mankind hasn't been recreated. As a matter of fact, he's gotten worse. The stature of man has shrunk considerably because of going into a meat diet, a flesh diet. And a lot of us were moved by the Holy Spirit before we even knew about the vegan diet, as it is written in scriptures, that the Gideon band is going to be used to eating, because when we get home to heaven, we're not going to be eating any meat. So some of us actually started moving towards a vegan diet many years before we even knew about it, because the Holy Spirit was saying, I'm just getting you ready for home. Yes, as we see in Genesis, that the Lord allowed man to eat certain animals after the flood, but common sense is now backed up by scientific data, that the global flood destroyed all vegetation, which was the original diet for man. I mean, look at your teeth. Are you a meat eater by the way your teeth look? Look at the meat eaters on the planet. Look at the cats and the dogs with their fangs. Oh, I got incisors on the side. Yeah, you got little fangs, little tiny incisors, but that's not for tearing meat. That's for, you know, it's just like with, we got the same teeth as a horse, a cow, a brontosaurus. Okay? We're not designed to eat meat. And as anyone with a greenhouse could tell you, 40 days without sunlight would make it impossible to keep vegetation alive. That is, of course, if Noah had a greenhouse. Plus, that greenhouse would have to be much larger than most realize, as the flood waters didn't start to dissipate for 150 days, and then it would take months for it to dry out enough to plant seedlings from the greenhouse of Noah. Not to mention the fact that eight people were going to be eaten from the greenhouse the entire time. So again, flesh meat was permitted during the flood, But now that we can look back with perfect hindsight, a meat-eating diet has granted the human race a much shorter lifespan. And in a way, I praise God for that. I mean, could you imagine guys like Hitler living 800-900 years, or Obama, or even the popes? Yeah, this it would be a lot worse than it is now already. I mean, it's bad now. So now, yeah, some will say, but my parents were vegans, and I'm a vegan. Why do I still die much younger than Noah? You need to keep in mind that your grandparents, or even your great-grandparents and their great-grandparents, were no doubt meat eaters. The human race was changed, not just individual bodies. And I'm not saying we were changing the way that we were recreated, you know, eating things. For example, the things that were poisonous to us in Noah's day will still kill us today. The things that make you healthy in Noah's day will still make us healthy today. So in that respect, mankind has never changed. It's just our stature that has changed in our lifespan. After thousands of years of meat-eating human, you know, the human race has degraded to such an extent that things have been changed on a cellular level for the most part, and I would have to venture a guess that unless you can get 10 to 20 generations of people eating only vegan diets, I doubt things will turn around anytime soon. But my son shared a video with the family a couple, 3 weeks ago, and I had to put these videos online a couple of years ago, and we posted one of them here in the room, which we shouldn't have done because the woman was just covered in makeup, but that maybe helped her look a little younger too. But I've seen these videos before of this one woman where she wasn't wearing any makeup and she was in her 80s and she looked like she was in her late 30s or early 40s. But she eats all raw her entire life. Why is the room keep clearing? Is somebody attacking the room? Now, that's very distracting. Someone's spamming the room? Well, then, moderators, you need to kick the person out. Just kick them out. Well, who's doing it? Whoever's doing it, just kick them out if they're spamming the room. I don't want to keep seeing the room flash and just, you know. Okay. Oh, people are just chatty? Okay. That's okay. We're in a study, brothers and sisters. We can chat after church, okay? All right. Plus. All right, we have a deal. We have to deal rather with the reality that the plant, the planet itself, not just the plants, but the planet itself is not the same as it was before the flood. We now have a very harsh environment, many regions of the world, and the atmosphere is not only greatly polluted; it's less dense than it was before the flood of Noah, making it that much harder to keep air-breathing beings healthy for long periods of time. And that's the reason the dinosaurs died off so quickly, and don't get that big anymore. I mean. Take, for example, if any of you have ever had an iguana or even the anole lizards. I used to have the little anole lizards, and I used to have the, I can't remember the lizards that Fran and I had when we were dating. But she likes lizards, yeah, too. So, they never stop growing. Lizards never stop growing until the day they die. But they don't live as long as they used to. Now, picture the planet in Noah's day with a perfect double density. You know, the atmosphere was doubly dense. You know, it was. They've already proven this using science, and they actually found a fossil, a rock fossil, which inside of it was a hammer that was forged in before Noah's day. You know, before the flood, and inside the hammer was oxygen molecules like you're going to find anywhere else. And it was forged in a furnace, just like any other hammer would have been done in the blacksmith days of like the cowboy days, or even today. There's still blacksmiths today. But the oxygen molecules were football shaped instead of round like they are today. And the reason they're round today is because there's not a lot of pressure on them. In Noah's day, there was twice the atmospheric pressure, which caused them to be football shaped, which meant you could hold your breath for over an hour because your oxygen. Your bloodstream was oxygenated. It was gorged with oxygen, okay? One of the reasons Michael Jackson would sleep in a hyperbaric chamber, you know, it oxygenates the blood and keeps you, younger, if you will. That's why he tried to keep his voice down or something like that, younger. But it also heals quicker, which I'm not going to get into here because I've already shared this before. But the fact of the matter is, with the bloodstream having the oxygen molecules squashed a little bit from the atmosphere, it would allow for areas of the human body to receive oxygen longer, and the aging process would drastically drop, where it would, instead of living decades, you could live centuries. Literally. Instead of 10 decades, you would live 10 centuries. And that has all been confirmed. I've got a page on the website, creation page, and you might want to check out some of the facts that have already been researched out. So that all being said, I pray that the historic record, as well as the biblical account regarding how mankind has been degraded by his own diet, some listening to my voice right now that have yet to be convicted on the Edenic diet may today have a major seed watered in the truth in all this. After all, when we get to heaven, we're not going to be eating meat for eternity. So why not get used to eating the proper diet before going home? You know, it makes sense to me. Hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.